And good morning, everybody. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Glad you're with us. This morning, a look at the vibrant theater scene here in the Baltimore region. Coming up in a bit, Maryland Morning theater critic Jay Wynn Russick joins us for her weekly theater review. This week, she takes a look at the new plays being presented at the Contemporary American Theater Festival in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. Now, of the five plays being presented there this season, three are by women. It's rare for women playwrights to represent the majority of a festival or even most of a typical season of plays at many American theater companies. Now, a conversation about local theater companies who are cooperating to present a bunch of plays this month and next, which are all written by women and transgender playwrights. Plays are taken from a list compiled by a collective in Los Angeles called the Kilroys. My guests this morning are part of the team at the Cohesion Theater Company in Baltimore, which is presenting this festival. It's called Parody Fest. Alicia Stanley is the director of Parody Fest, and Jessica Kim is the readings coordinator and curator. Good morning to you both. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Alicia, let me start with you. The point of this festival is to address the lack of parity between men and women playwrights represented across the spectrum of theaters. Tell us about the Kilroys and how they're approaching that problem.
Sure. The Kilroys are an LA-based organization of women who decided that, or who really wanted to answer the question of whether there are good plays being written now by female playwrights. It's common to hear from artistic directors and theater makers who program seasons that they'd love to produce more plays by women, they just don't know of any good ones. And of course, that's ridiculous. New works are being written all the time by women. So they amassed an organization, you know, a kind of nationwide volunteer base of theater makers, dramaturgs, professors, you know, every aspect of theater, to recommend new works that they had seen or read that were written by female and transgender playwrights. And there were 755 nominations this year. The final list is 53 top recommended plays. Yeah.
So these are suggestions given to the Kilroys by people from all over the country. Do you really think that's true, that people who are running theater companies say, oh, gee, we'd love to do plays by women, but there just aren't any? That seems kind of anachronistic to me. I mean, that just seems like silly. is that really what's going on in the theater scene?
Yeah, that's often the case. And if you look at the percentage of plays written by female or male playwrights, it's hovering at about 24% female in any given season.
Yeah, interesting. And so, Jessica, of these 53 plays that the Kilroys have put on their list, you all are coordinating performances of 44 of them. So how do you choose the plays that you're going to do, and how do you match them up with the various companies?
So we have the list of all the plays, the 53 plays, as well as a backup list of about 15 from the 2014 Kilroys list. And I have a wonderful reading team, and I send out a script to them, and they go ahead and analyze it and do a character breakdown, a genre, a rating for maturity, a synopsis, and then a little bit about the author. And so I send out this synopsis document to all the directors in the this festival, the Parody Fest, and they'll email back what they want. And it is a first come, first serve kind of thing, so we do have some conflicts so far, but for the most part, it's working out, and people are really genuinely excited about what they're picking.
So it's been the case that two or three companies might all want to do the same one.
Yes.
But then you've got to negotiate that.
Yeah, and that can be a little bit tricky because obviously I want someone to really be passionate about their piece, but it seems to be working out pretty well.
How many different theater companies are actually involved when the dust settles?
I think we have about 20.
Terrific. And these are staged readings. What does that mean?
So a staged reading is the actors have the scripts in hand, and they can either, you know, have music stands and just kind of engage in character and mannerisms and interact with each other via that way. Or Alicia here directed at Artscape yesterday, and hers was more of a more staged, so the actors can move around with their scripts, and there can be lighting and props and sound effects, and it can almost be like a production, and the actors just happen to have scripts in their hand, and it's pretty awesome.
So there's sort of various levels of rehearsal and preparation prior to presenting these?
Yes, exactly. We wanted to make it as easy as possible on theater companies to participate in the festival, especially it being the first year. So it pretty much ranges all the way from, you know, actors stand at music stands and read from their scripts, and someone reads the stage directions, all the way to including technical elements. We had props and lights and everything at Theater Project yesterday.
So it's a six-week festival. You've just finished the third week, so you're halfway through. How's the reception been so far?
It's been great. Yeah, we've had fairly good audiences. Our opening night celebration was fantastic, and companies have really been enjoying the scripts. We've had a lot of great feedback from directors that they would potentially be interested in producing this script fully at some point, which is a major goal of the festival, to get these produced.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, is there a danger, because these are just readings and they're going to be subject to, you know, in some cases, a minimal amount of rehearsal and preparation. Is it a danger that some of these people's work will be presented in a less than ideal fashion? I mean, could it turn people off to some of the work if it's not, you know, if they're not seeing it in a fully produced way?
That is possible. We haven't experienced that being the case. A lot of the time when we get together to read it just very minimally with audiences, we're able to see the potential of what the production could be, and often we'll have talkbacks and things afterwards. So mm-hmm. if there's something that, you know, some of the scripts are kind of surreal or don't have a clear meaning, and so we will have talkbacks afterwards to kind of discuss the script, how it might look in a production, how certain things might be conveyed.
Because Jessica, if you're a theater artist, you're used to reading plays, and I suppose this is one step up from that. I mean, mm-hmm. hearing it voiced by, you know, actors, and it's better than just reading it yourself.
Yeah.
I have a number of friends who, I'm a musician in my other life. I conduct a chorus and orchestra called the Choral Arts Society, and I have a lot of friends who are women composers. You know, so they're writing contemporary music, and I'm playing their music all the time. And to a person, not one of them wants to be known as a woman composer, because they just don't want that pigeonhole. They don't want that stamp. They're composers like everybody else. What's the feeling about that for the playwrights that you're working with? I mean, are they happy to be, you know, sequestered in this group of women playwrights, or, you know, do they bristle at that notion?
It's actually curious you brought that up, because we had a panel discussion yesterday, a Women in Science panel, and there was a composer in the audience, a lady composer, and she brought up her grievances about male coworkers that she works with who have these like subtle ways of kind of deriding her, I guess, because she's not a male composer and it's kind of a male-dominated field. So I think that the female playwrights in our festival mostly just seem so excited to get their work out, because they're emerging artists. This might be their first or second production that's kind of hitting it big, you know? So I feel like a lot of them have very positive response, and none of them have expressed any concern because they're a female playwright. And I think that this festival is about bringing equality, where it doesn't matter if the playwright is a male or a female when you're introducing a play to a director. It's just the quality of the work itself, you mm-hmm. know?
Mm-hmm. And Alicia Stanley, this past season, Center Stage presented two plays by Amy Herzog, and they mm-hmm. called it the Amy Herzog Festival. It was a mini festival, two plays. We have a theater company here in town that's part of this parody fest, Strand Theater, which concentrates on work by women. My daughter happens to be a playwright. She's at the Yale School of Drama, and it's interesting that in her cohort of nine people, three of them are men, six of them are women at the moment. I wonder, do you think that strides are being made towards more parity? There's a festival coming up in Washington, the Women's Voices Theater Festival, which will feature works by more than 50 women starting next month and running through November. There's a lot of, it seems to me, a lot of movement towards parity. What's your sense of it?
I agree. I think strides absolutely are being made, and, you know, that percentage of plays in a season written by female playwrights is definitely creeping up. And hopefully with things like Parody Fest and the Women's Voices Festival in D.C., it'll affect main stage seasons for longer, for years to come, mm-hmm. right? So we have this dedicated time that we're specifically going to look at plays by female playwrights, and hopefully that will have a long-term effect in the ways that people's seasons look.
Sure. I guess in a way this is kind of one-stop shopping, Jessica Kim. I mean, if a theater director is looking for plays by women, you know, you go to the Kilroy's website, there's those 53 plays, there's information about how to get the scripts, and of course now they can have the experience of the plays that have been done here. This is the first year of the festival. You have plans to continue doing this in out years? years?
I actually joined Peace Corps, so I'll be in South America next summer. But Alicia, I think, does indeed plan to continue this festival.
Yes, the response from the theater community and from audiences has been very positive. So in all likelihood, this will not be a one-time event.
Good. I mean, at its core, what's the reason for the lack of parity in theater companies? Is it just that it's a male-dominated business? That most of the theater directors and general managers are men?
I think that's a huge problem, that a lot of the people planning the seasons are men, and then women's works just aren't treated the same way. They aren't taken as seriously. Even looking back in the 20th century, you know, you can name a dozen male playwrights that are considered classics, but you know, women were also writing.
Yeah.
They just don't get the recognition.
Yeah. Well, you guys are doing something to address that. All right. Well, thanks both of you for coming in and break a leg with the rest of the festival. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alicia Stanley and Jessica Kim are part of the team at the Cohesion Theater Company, which is producing Parody Fest. It's a festival of plays by women and transgender playwrights. It continues this week with plays produced by the EMP Collective, the Cohesion Theater Company, Interrobang Theater, UMBC Girl Parts, the Spotlighters Theater, and the Baltimore Improv Group. When the dust settles, there will have been 44 stage readings of plays at many different companies around town. The festival runs until August 9th. We've got a complete schedule and links to more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. More on the new theater scene coming right up.